Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, well, good morning. Dr. John here. Continuing our series on Jesus Saves, taking a portion of Scripture. We're not going to take a whole chapter today. We're going to take a portion of chapter 2 of Revelations, and we're going to talk about the Church of Ephesus, and see what the Lord has to say about them. So, verse 1, until the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Okay, an angel is a pastor. He's referring to a pastor. Timothy was the pastor of Ephesus. I don't know if it was at this time, but it was. He had been the pastor. Jesus holds the seven preachers, the pastors. They are very special to Jesus. And a friend of his pastor, and he was kind of intimidating. He was a fundamental Baptist preacher. And he got some guys that, he used to umpire games, and they used to not like some of his calls, and one guy, you know, punched him in the mouth. And so he didn't retaliate. The pastor didn't retaliate. But that man that did hit him had a car accident and really was hurt. So Jesus, don't mess with the pastor. Jesus is they're very special to him. And so he holds the seven pastors in high esteem, or the pastor of churches. Then the seven candlesticks. Well, the seven candlesticks speak of the church. And the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. They are the light of the world. So they're very, very special to him. And he's very concerned about their well-being and their care and their message and their behavior. This is his church. He's the shepherd of the church. And so he died for this church. All that he did was for the church. And so, yeah, he's not going to just let it go. He's going to take care of it. So, verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Well, this is the works of the Church of Ephesus. Some of them are listed here. That they labor, they have patience, they can't bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them that are apostles, and they are not, and has found them liars. Today, this church would be against abortion clinics, against liars, the preachers that are out there fleecing you for money and all this other stuff. Christ founded the local church. You know, there wasn't a church building until over 300 years after Jesus resurrected. It was over 300 years. They met in homes. They met in fields. They didn't have these big buildings and all this other stuff. They didn't have all these denominations. But here's Ephesus. And they had false apostles in, and they checked them out to see whether they were telling the truth, and they found them as liars. You know, I like the radio. We support National Radio Association, AFA, because they talk about things that are happening in our world and call them out. It's liars. It's evil. And I appreciate that. Preachers ought to be doing that. That's what Jesus has commended them for. Verse 3, and has borne and has patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. So they've been at it for a while, and they're hard at it. And they're getting results. But then he says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because thou hast left thy first love. You can get so wrapped up in being faithful to the word of God and, well, like it says, carrying this load of faithfulness, of rebuking the evil and helping the weak and just loving, staying in God's love and showing mercy and grace. You can do all of this and lose your first love. Well, what do you mean, Brother John? I said, well, I thought you never asked. Let's go to Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus said this. Now, this was at a feast they were having, and everybody was running around trying to be religious and be careful and make sure that they are right. They probably had a bunch of priests running around telling them what to do and just a lot of stress. This is what Jesus said. Let me tell you how he said it. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say stop. He says, in your labor, in the burdens that you have, in the good work that you're doing, as Ephesus was doing, they were carrying a lot of load. They were being faithful and being long-suffering, as the word of God says. And he says, Jesus says, come to me. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. See, they were doing all of this work, and they were not doing it in coming to Jesus. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. The church of Ephesus needed to learn how Jesus did things. They need to stay close to him, stay in the love of God, and learn how he handled how he carried his yoke, how he used his yoke. I got a friend that runs a soft drink vending route, and he has a hand truck. Well, that's a yoke. That's a tool to carry your burdens with, just like a yoke. And he carries six, seven stacks of cases of soft drinks in on the machines at one time. That's his tool that he uses to make the burden and that he has lighter and easier to do. And that's what Jesus is doing. And that's what Ephesus was not. They were not using their hand truck. They were going around doing all these burdens and all of that, and they left their first love without their first love with them, with Jesus carrying the load with them. He says, take my yoke upon you. Use my tool. Learn of me. Watch how I do it. Study me. See how I did this. For I am meek, which means a humbleness toward God and God's will and way of doing things, and lowly in heart. Not proud, not arrogant, not getting full of themselves. That's how you carry life. And it shall be rest to your souls. You're letting Jesus handle all the work. You and him are in this together, fellowshipping with him. You're not forgetting your first love in this work. He says, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So this hand truck or this burden carrier is light. It makes it a lot easier to do what you were doing before. And the reason it's a burden and you're not exhausted out, well, that's because they have burnout so much is because they're not with Jesus and letting him, using his yoke and his way and fellowshipping with him as they carry the load in life. And he says, and that's what he says. Now, what is the first commandment? What we're supposed to be doing in our our fellowship in life and how we're supposed to be doing things. Well, Jesus said, Matthew, 22:37, he says there, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbors thyself. Well, they were loving their neighbors theirself. They were being patient and calling out evil and the false apostles and all of that. But they weren't staying in the love of God. They weren't fellowshipping with the love of God. They weren't doing it with the love of God, with that yoke, with you fellowshipping in the Jesus with using his tool of humbleness and meekness of heart. That's how he's correcting. That's what we need to do in correcting. What does he say to the first, excuse me, to the church in Ephesus? He says in verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. They forgot the yoke. They went out and did it on their own. They got the plan down or the program down, and they forgot about their fellowship and humbleness and meekness to the Lord and loving him. And while they're doing this, as Jude says, keeping the love of God, they just did out, or they got used to doing it. No. You're forgetting the first law, the first commandment, loving Jesus first and foremost. He says, art fallen and repent. Repent. Get back to that love fellowship with the Lord, that humbleness and meekness of heart. Remember how it was when you first got saved and you were just so relaxed and appreciative, and what you went through is that closeness of fellowship. That's what he's talking about. Get back to that and do the first works. Or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of thy place, except thy repent. There's a lot of candlesticks that he's removed. They're just a shell of a place. They got programs. They got plays. They got services. They got everything, but they forgot their first love. They're not using the yoke of humbleness and meekness of heart. They're not working with Jesus and working the Holy Spirit, counseling him and comforting him. No, they got the program. They got it all. Pat, I've been doing this for years. They're veterans. You know, look at all the big buildings and all. No, those buildings don't, they're just shells. What about the hearts of the people? How are they, what are they doing? He says, repent. Verse 6, he says, but this thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Well, who are the Nicolaitans? Well, let me tell you who they are. They were called Gnostics. And Gnostics believed in the human beings contain a piece of God within themselves, which has fallen from the immaterial world into the bodies of humans. Ain't that cute? Then Jesus is identified by some Gnostics as an embodiment of the supreme being who became incarnate to bring gnosis to the earth, you know, this mystic stuff. Well, while others adamantly denied the supreme being came in the flesh. So they said, yeah, he came down and brought this gnosis, but he didn't come in the flesh. So that's what he believed. That's what Jesus is saying. I have this. I hate them too because they're denying me. They're denying that I came in the flesh, that I did everything I did. I helped the poor and gave, and didn't have anything, but did good works. And then I died on the cross and resurrected 3 days. They deny all of that. Yeah, I hate them too. He says, I'm commending you guys for that. But then he says, this is what he says in verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So the reward for going back, humbling yourself, confessing whatever the sin that of getting away from him, and humbling yourself to him and letting him run the show. Run it, let him work and labor with you and through you. You're going to find rest to your soul. And when you do that, when you get into the heaven and you get into the paradise, you're going to be able to eat of the tree of life. Now, that tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. That's a reference to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And that was in, that tree is in Genesis 2:9, okay? It's in Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, you see, again, Adam and Eve, God created man not to die. And he supplied him with nourishment to keep up his health and everything else with the tree of life. Well, when you get to heaven, and as faithful as you are and have been, you're going to be able to eat of that tree of life. And you're going to be revigorated or whatever it is, or however it is in heaven. This is your reward for being faithful here. And I tell you, you be faithful down here in working with that yoke and letting Jesus and the Holy Spirit carry the load for you or with you. And with that meek and lowly heart, you're going to have a lot of fruit in heaven waiting on you. Repent. That's what Jesus says. It's a thing. Come to your senses and go back to your first love. Do the first works. God bless you. Brother John, WSM217@gmail.com.